table. Who's going next?
I don't know. You have to point.
Do I have to?
Yeah. This is Arnold.
That's Arnold.
This is Chris.
This is Travis.
No, Travis isn't here, dude.
I'm Scott.
No.
Yay!
Scott's not here.
I'll see.
We're not talking about rugby or football.
Okay.
Yeah. But, hey, if you're joining us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. I'll have you pulled up right to refresh and there it goes. Okay, there you are. So if you're joining us live, log into your account and you could like say hi to us, ask us questions, talk shit, fact check us, whatever. If you're logged in on your YouTube account and you say it here, I'll see it and I'll try to involve you the best I can in our show tonight. If you're not watching us live on delay, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter @HWrestlingRadio, or just right here in the YouTube comments. And also, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. That way you get our stuff when we do it, pipe it hot out of the oven. Eek. You and Travis were back at La Cocina Studios.
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah. And y'all did the...
Who's Ebony?
Is he the Ebony? Yeah. And y'all did y'all's recap of the Survivor Series weekend
down here in Houston.
On, it was Thanksgiving, so you were in
the schools. I just didn't want to go.
But yeah, okay, that too. So we didn't really get a chance. So do we want to kick off this week's episode? Letting us catch
that
up?
Shit. Let's start with Raw. So on Raw.
All right. The biggest thing I want to talk about, you guys added a match to the match of the week.
No, match of the year.
Yeah, excuse me. Well, yes, match of the year. Well, week and year list. And that was Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream.
Now, oh, I also forgot to mention this before we get too far into it. You might notice a different quality in the picture. It looks kind of dark. That's because somebody forgot to bring the camera because you went last week to La Cocina Studios and you left the camera fucking there instead of bringing it over here, you dick. So blame him. But anyway, as I was saying, y'all guys added a match to the match of the year list.
Senpai.
Yes. And I wanted to, for... you know, me and you to throw in our 2 cents over here, Arnold. Yes. So,
matters. It's already on the list.
It's already on the list.
Not to mention, somebody had already given the thumbs up.
Well, here's the thing. You asked me what was the match of that weekend. Mm-hmm. That weekend, my match of the week was definitely Aleister versus Velveteen. I do think it was the best thing that we've seen. If it wasn't for the big botch with Alexander Wolf. Which, I mean, I'm not going to blame, oh my God, it was terrible. It was just like, okay, you had something happen in the match that, depending on how you look at things, it's either going to enhance it or detract it. So I just kind of wanted to stay away from, like, putting that on match of the year or even match of the night or whatever, just because of that bad gash. Like, that's not supposed to happen.
That would have been terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we had to focus on just one ring for the duration of that match almost.
Well, if you were watching it, you didn't know.
Yeah, but again, we were there live, We knew what the hell was going on. But big kudos to Alexander Wolf for like having his head rolled up next to the fucking cage and the medic outside the cage fucking stapling his head. Oh, dude, that is bananas. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for that, man, I didn't know which match to pick as the match of the night, match of the weekend. Because I loved fucking War Games.
Yeah.
But I officially said I'm going to give it to Velveteen versus Aleister. It's a great match. Good story. You know I'm a sucker for story. There was a lot of storytelling in the ring, in the match itself. And that was cool. I really dig it. Now, Arnold, you were asked this as well, but when you answered it, these guys already did their whole thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
Gun to my head, War Games was better than Velveteen Aleister.
Okay.
Because of the thing that I told you that I don't like about certain indie matches, where to me they take too long to start. And the first, never seen any of these guys. I was kind of thinking, I was like, yo, this guy, that Aleister Black, all he does is strike. All he does is hit, punch. No. He does not grapple.
Right.
First 5 minutes, it was all grappling. And I was like, well, normally he doesn't. Yeah, so
he transferred the power of the stink onto you. You gave your wife the Arnold stink.
Yeah,
you motherfucker.
But it was mostly better because I was pumping him up.
Yeah.
She was, the first 5 minutes, we're both bored. We're like, Connor, no, you know, talk, come on.
Yeah.
You know? But as the matches got better and better, and she went from not being checked out to totally being fucking all up in it. Channing, this is awesome. All, you know, crazy. And which is why I really liked the match. But standing ovation, mm-hmm. how good that match was. To me, it goes beyond the bat. Like the botch. The botch was just kind of like, yeah, it happened. Fuck it. Shit happens.
Mm-hmm. I did notice that the botch did affect other stuff in the match. Like when Adam Cole was up top and he had to like hump the top of the ring.
Did you watch the Botchamania video?
No.
They added the water level from Super Mario 1, the song. And every time Adam Cole went bloop, 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 like he's swimming. I lost my shit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it did affect some aspects of that match. Mm-hmm. But either way, in my mind, I was thinking, well, which is going to be match of the week or weekend or whatever? I was never thinking match of the year for either one of those matches.
No, neither one.
That's just kind of how I feel about it. But you and Travis both said, bam, match of the year.
It wasn't so much us. Last year was not the first year that our listeners – were very abundant in saying that this match should have been on there or this match should have been the year. Remember the kerfuffle with the takeover? Was the Brooklyn match between Sasha and Bayley better than the Respect match? And they thought that was match of the year. Dude, damn near unanimous on our Facebook for match of the week.
Yeah, everybody.
Aleister Black versus Velveteen or this. Aleister Black versus Velveteen or this. Yeah. Or it's just straight up, oh shit, Aleister. Yeah, they did the answering for us.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that. That's why I'm not fighting it. I'm like, I don't see that, but I'm not stupid. I'm not Vince McMahon. I can see what the people want, and I'm going to give it to them.
Yeah. Now, there was one aspect of it that Travis was talking about that he was a little surprised by, which was, I think his exact quote was, well, somebody told me that Velveteen was supposed to be a heel.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it, you know. Being in the arena that night, I think I kind of know what happened. People were so invested in the story and invested in the character of both of these guys that while Velveteen was the heel, he was still getting love from the crowd. Mm-hmm. But I think that it wound up seeming like we were only cheering for Velveteen because it's simply easier to chant for Velveteen.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting there thinking, okay, I want to chant for Velveteen and I want to chant for Aleister. It's like, say his name. And it's like,
that applied to the story.
Yeah, and that applied to the story. He's like, what the hell do you chant for Aleister? Like, I finally, towards the end, in my section, towards the end of the match, unknowing that it was the end of the match, unknowing that it was a finish, my section just started going, Aleister, Aleister. You say my name unsuccessfully?
No, I didn't know. I was there.
But there was like a lot of people that were excited for both, but it was just hard to actually get a chant together for Aleister.
There was two other things at play. Number one, they showed it last weekend. Houston is a smarky town.
Mm.
Finally.
Yeah. It's taking a little while.
So smarky means there's going to be a lot of people in the crowd that are going to go for themselves.
And that's another thing. You were talking about Houston. It wasn't the fact that it was a smarky crowd finally in Houston. I think that all the other riffraff that was the little kids that were going to go to Survivor Series because that's what the parents knew and they were going to buy, they weren't there. Yeah. They concentrated it down and reduced it down to the smarky fans.
Yeah, you could talk about the attendance.
Yeah.
And then the other part that I think contributed to it, dollars to donuts, this is probably the only time in Houston that we're going to get to see a Velveteen before they can push him up to the main roster.
Just happened.
I don't know. Our thing just died.
It might have rebooted. Well,
okay. It just shows that the camera went away. That's interesting.
Yeah, it just froze right here.
Huh.
Hey, right we're back.
Okay.
Can you still hear us back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can still hear us.
Okay.
So
this will happen a couple times.
Yeah. So this is probably going to be the only time Houston's going to see Velveteen in NXT before he gets pushed up to the main roster and they change him. Like, they change everybody from NXT.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, you know? I get it.
So, like, the Lucha Underground vibe, you're going to like who you like and you're just fucking, you know?
Yeah.
The environment. So I figured that was the 1-2 punch of why And on top of that, dude, the storyline from the jump, I think that was the most well built.
Yeah.
Story line the build for this was the
best.
Yeah. For a story that was built in under a month.
Yeah.
Oh man, the story was fucking great.
Yeah.
You know, it
two
just,
months.
Was it 2 months?
Yeah. This happened like 2 weeks after SummerSlam, so it was beginning of September. Yeah.
But if you were in NXT world, it was like 3-4 episodes.
Yeah.
So like a month.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So that's that. That's all I really wanted to say about NXT.
Yeah.
You know, the attendance, that was a thing, but again, I think it was a reduced down instance working people. And I think another aspect of that is we saw a lot of non-Houstonians there.
Oh, yeah.
There's guys with the specifically French flags, other people coming around that you knew that weren't from here.
Yeah.
If you were in the parking lot, you saw different license plate states.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of the same effect that you had for WrestleMania weekends.
Yeah.
You know, WrestleMania, everybody goes that if they're flying in for Mania, fuck it, may as well go to NXT. Fuck it, may as well go to Raw. So there was a lot of transplants here.
I think
that was cool.
I think if they would have sold the tickets before the hurricane, we would have had a fuller house.
Definitely.
There was only these tickets were only on sale for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
After the hurricane.
After the hurricane.
6 weeks.
Yes.
You know, so you could have built it as NXT. Oh, holy shit, it's not NXT Houston, it's NXT War Games.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I didn't go to Survivor Series, Raw, or SmackDown, but usually whenever I go to a wrestling thing, right there, they tell you, hey, Houston, we're going to be back, so-and-so. Did they? Right.
No.
No.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Robert says in the live chat, oh, by the way, what's up, Robert? And what's up, Hector? Nice to see you. Robert says, there were some drunk dudes from Mississippi behind me.
Ah.
Yeah, see, there you go. There was people who traveled.
I saw that, yeah. I noticed that. He was sitting like, a section beside me, like we weren't that far apart. I don't think he knows.
Hector has a question for you. If Dream gets called up, who do you think he should feud with first? Velveteen Dream versus. You know, I think this is low hanging fruit, but I know I saw the poster several different places. Did you guys see the poster?
Yeah.
A Dream versus Goldust?
No.
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 Career versus.
Let one be, and the other.
No passing of the torch.
Broken Matt Hardy.
Ooh! Broken Matt Hardy, huh?
There's two things wrong with that, so I'm going to focus on the better one right now. There's one guy that they tend to throw a bone in the beginning to prove that he can actually go, that he's not just a character, against a guy that's pretending to be 95 different characters at once. Velveteen versus Ziggler.
Oh. Forgot that guy was still in the company. Yeah.
Velveteen versus somebody super serious and he just tries to freak them out.
Nakamura!
No, I mean, okay, Nakamura is a serious wrestler. Well, not even
but
Wyatt.
He's flamboyant. He's flamboyant, though. And it can
Lance Storm.
The Miz?
Yes. The Miz.
Oh, okay.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Miz, you know, just kind of trying to downplay, like, oh, you're just a caricature. You're not a real person, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he just gets even him out on his bullshit. Like, that clash of styles there, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Okay.
So, NXT's episode, that last week's episode.
Right.
With between two girls that are already on the main roster.
Yes.
Ruby Riott.
Ruby Riott.
With one T.
At this time, it was just Ruby Riott.
One T.
Not
Ruby Riott.
Against Sonya Deville.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of y'all watch that?
No, I missed it there.
I saw it in the arena.
I missed it. I got there. I went straight after work. It was traffic up the ass. I got off work at 6. I got there like before 7, I want to see, or something like that. And I got there. I got in the arena. I looked around. I was like, I don't know what time exactly this is going to start. I don't know how long I'll be sitting down. I'm going to give me some chicken tenders. So.
Mistake number one.
I was in line. I was like, bitch, there's fucking Ruby Riott. Okay, whatever. And then, like, by the time
that was her entrance.
Yeah.
That was actually her exit.
Yeah, by the time I fucking got my shit, I heard some music go off. And I was like, oh, I guess Ruby Riott won.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was my experience with that match.
No. Yeah. I saw it in the theater. In the arena. I did also try to rewatch it tonight. While I was cooking and waiting for you guys to show up. I didn't pay super close attention to it because I'd already seen it and I didn't care too much. I listened to the commentary.
What was the point of this match?
It was good. it was what you would expect from them too, but it wasn't like, oh my god, amazing. You know,
I haven't watched the neither the War Games nor the NXT from when we were there. I haven't seen how they handled the camera work.
I have.
How did they handle it?
They tried to ignore the stuff with Alexander Wolf as much as possible.
No. I'm just talking about any other matches.
Oh, that, yeah. They just pretty much focused on the one ring. Yeah. Like, you would see it every so often when they would turn.
Yeah.
But I also noticed
the first fucking match, they kept showing the wrong fucking ring.
That's true, too. But that was just inside. What I was going to say is the amount of space in the audience that was taped off was bigger than what it normally is because they had to have space for two different rings.
Yeah, four hard cams actually, and then there was one in the center.
Oh yeah, there was one.
There were five hard cams.
Oh damn. Okay. Well, I noticed that it took up like two sections instead of normally like one. Yeah. You know, but that was because they were trying to spread it out because there's two fucking rings.
Yeah.
Correct though.
Yeah.
What about the UK title match?
Oh man, that match was a good. I asked Abel, "Hey man, that was probably my favorite match of the night." So can I put it on this week? He said no. That's because it airs the week after.
Once it airs,
so that's a match of the week candidate instantly for me.
For this week, I'd say that too.
Match, Jesus Christ, dude! I really really enjoyed that match.
It could be my pick.
It could be. We'll get to Raw and SmackDown.
I think it is my pick. I kind of wish that it wasn't because there was something very surprising that I want to make my pick, but I can't in good conscience not make this match my pick because it was just so good.
Yeah,
you know, in ring wise, it was good.
Yeah,
story, not so much. It didn't really do a whole lot for either one of the guys story wise. Yeah. But goddamn, the moves that they were doing was just amazing.
Yeah,
it was a great way to kick off the festivities of the weekend in the arena. But also rewatching it back on the television tonight. I watched it like 30 minutes ago. it was pretty darn good. Again, I was cooking, waiting for you guys to show up, you know, tending to that, only halfway paying attention, but I already watched it live.
Yeah.
But it's still a damn good match. That suicide dive into a DDT on the floor, fuck, that looks sick.
Those kicks.
I was on the opposite side of the ring to see that. So when I was live, I just saw him dive out the ring. I was like, oh, he just heat-seeking missile. I didn't catch that. That was into a fucking DDT. Yeah. I'm like, oh, fuck, that looks crazy. And that's something I didn't catch in the arena.
I was on the hard cam side.
Yeah.
So I saw, like, a lot of that match. That match was on my side, too, so it was even better. Like, there was a couple matches throughout the night where I just didn't check into because I was so far away from the ring. The Lars match versus Ono, the girls' four-way match was, like, I mean, I was there. I liked the match, but I wish it was on my side so I could pay more attention to it.
You selfish bitch.
Yeah. That's why, for me, the Ash for Black match was badass because it was on my side.
Yeah.
I remember messaging our group and saying before the pay-per-view even started, I was like, man, dude. No, I posted it on our Facebook. The UK title match set the tone for how this night needs to keep going.
Yeah.
And other than the Sullivan Ono match, and mostly because of all. It didn't go down to me.
All right. Well, there's another question in the live chat for us by Hector. He says, do you think the UK division would be a good addition to SmackDown Live?
No.
I think you're going to have to rearrange a lot of stuff. And by a lot of stuff, I basically mean 205. Make 205 just something that's only a Raw brand thing.
Looks like we're glitching a lot.
Are we?
So
probably.
I have an answer for that.
Okay.
Y'all might not like it too much. Cancel 205 and make SmackDown 3 hours.
Oh.
And here's why.
Okay.
There's 205's already getting too overexposed on two nights, and the showing on Raw is not helping the 205's ratings on the network.
Yeah.
We just hit the 1 year anniversary on the network, and they already sent a flyer, a questionnaire. It's like, hey, do you like the show?
Yeah.
When do you watch the show?
Yeah.
Why don't you watch the show?
Yeah.
Who would you want to see on the show? Why don't you want to watch the show? And so, no.
Yeah.
This is the second.
I see that.
This is the second week in a row that we had SmackDown without Nakamura. That's unacceptable.
Oh, shit.
That's unacceptable. So make SmackDown 3 hours, and you'll have the UK division to fill in some of that extra time, and then you'll have the extra time to bring in the stars that you don't know. Again, where's Ty Dillinger?
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. You know, so, yeah. SmackDown needs to be 3 hours with Raw so that it doesn't look like the B brand. And
yeah, I think I don't know what's up with that camera. Why that camera doesn't want to stay on, but apparently the audio is staying on.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But yeah, that's my plan. SmackDown needs to be 3 hours. Kill 205. Have the loser weights on Raw. Have the UK guys on SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah, and then that way, on next year's Survivor Series, you could have a cruiserweight versus a UK guy and have it actually mean something if you're going to do this brand supremacy bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. So, again, we apologize for any technical difficulties there. It's being stupid today.
Yeah, but, yeah. I'd agree with that. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what I think
it might be a sleep timer.
What I think might make SmackDown that much better is the fact that they have to cram that shit in 2 hours so everyone steps their game up. Raw is 3 hours, but technically it's like 2 hours and like 10 minutes and everything else is like highlights.
Yeah. The problem is there's now that Raw is 3 hours, there's no way they're going to dumb it back down to two hours. Yeah. So fuck it. Yeah. Bite the bullet. Make SmackDown 3 hours.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it is de facto 3 hours. You're still technically only having
7 hours of content a week.
Yeah, it's de facto 3 hours right now, as is anyway with 205 Live. So,
Well, depends.
It'd give you a reason to keep watching wrestling, because I would check out. I don't watch 205.
Dude, half the audience leaves after SmackDown Silver anyway, so might as well just extend it to the 3 hours and everybody's there for the
He says Raw is already too long. Leave SmackDown alone. Leave SmackDown alone.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. But I mean, hey, I'm not gonna complain about more wrestling.
Well, we're getting the same wrestling.
Yeah,
that's why it's the same amount.
All right,
so let's get into it.
Well, I was gonna say something else about NXT.
Go
for NXT this week.
Yeah,
I really, really enjoyed Lars's promo. It was a little backstage promo that was supposed to have happened during, you know, takeover, whatever. I liked it because I think what they're trying to do with him, and I think they mentioned this before, I think before takeover, they're trying to make him out to be, not only is he like just this giant brute, but he's intelligent. You know, like kind of like a beast.
Like Heidenreich.
Or I was going to say like Beast from X-Men, but okay, Heidenreich.
Yeah.
Where they're going to try to make him like this smart guy.
Like the literal opposite of Ryback.
Yes.
Ryback. I still think
so the opposite of Braun, Ryback. So you're not going to see him running into turnposts every match, right?
Yeah. Okay. Which I think
Beast
could be
Beast is a very, 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 very good, comparison there.
And his weird-ass lisp only kind of adds a little depth to that character. So not only does he look like a guy who shouldn't be intelligent, he speaks like a guy that shouldn't be intelligent, but he's like throwing around these big words. Like
he's Mike a Tyson. Fat Eugene.
I was saying Mike Tyson, but yeah.
Okay. So if they really run with that and really accentuate that up, I think they might have something with this guy.
Mm-hmm. So it's coming from the guy that's had a hard-on since he saw him. So.
Oh, well, no, I have. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I have. But I think it's all the more reason to keep that hard on.
Cool.
Moving on. Are you guys ready for WWE's version of Broken Matt Hardy?
Maybe. I really, really have been wanting to see Broken Matt. And ever since, you know, they showed up at WrestleMania, the Hardy showed up at WrestleMania, I was like, ooh, damn, this is cool. And every time they started doing the delete, and I'm like, oh, man, they were going to do it. But then this legal battle, and then this and that. I have a few issues. First issue is I don't know if that iron is still hot enough to strike. And I asked that on the Facebook page, and the first thing that we got was from Andrew. What's up, Andrew? I don't know if he's watching right now, but what's up, Andrew? He doesn't. No. But the first thing he said is, better. I don't trust WWE to actually do it right. Mm-hmm. But listen, that's a separate issue. So that issue one is it too late? Issue two, if it's not too late, are you going to do it right? So let's just look at issue one. Is it too late? Is it too late to even do it right?
It might be.
Think so?
I don't care anymore. But then again, I'm not a TNA guy, so I don't care about it to begin with. What I always liked about Broken Matt Hardy being cool was the fact that, hey, the Hardys are relevant again after like 17 years.
I'm watching TNA mostly through the whole thing, through the whole Matt Hardy experience, the Broken experience. What was the intent of Broken Matt in TNA? What did we get out of that? We got a fucking heavyweight title run out of Matt Hardy with the broken gimmick. Yeah. We had him reunited with Brother Nero, and they completely reinvented both of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran roughshod around the division. Mm-hmm. They were hands down for at least 9 months the only relevant thing TNA had to offer.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are they going to give Matt Hardy a title run in WWE?
No.
Are they going to give him a heavyweight intercontinental title run?
Are they going to make him the main attraction of the whole damn show?
Is he going to be main eventing Raws?
No.
Is he going to co-main event a pay-per-view?
Is shit at the compound going to main event an entire episode of SmackDown?
Listen.
Or Raw.
They were at the point 2 years ago where WWE ripped off the Hardys with the Bray Wyatt fucking compound New Day shit.
And it was the shit that Hardy was doing.
That's what I was told.
It wasn't. And what's interesting, though, is during that heyday, when that shit was hot, Bray and Matt had tweef. They had Twitter beef.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, man, I really want to see this. I'm really clamoring for it. I don't see them feuding with Wyatt or the Wyatt family, so we're not going to get that dream match, and even if we did, it's not against the Wyatt family. Right now, Bray is just Bray, and that's it. And he's Bray a year after a year long of fucking losing, and nobody giving a shit about him.
The Broken Matt gimmick is that cool Rick and Morty joke that only the insiders knew that made each other special until the fact that it went wild on the internet and people started dressing up as pickles and people started throwing shit at McDonald's because they ran out of Szechuan sauce. Like, the joke's already old. Like, it doesn't, like, it's not going to be cool anymore. As soon as WWE decides to do the Too Sweet with Finn Balor on purpose on WWE television on everyone, that shit's going to get so fucking old.
I was literally going to say, the Broken Hearted thing is what the Bullet Club is becoming.
Yeah, exactly. Like, WWE tried to do something with that when they had what's their names, Gallows and Anderson, and they called them Da Club. And Da Club didn't even work.
Yeah, Balor Club is worse.
Yeah, Balor Club's worse. You try to have AJ do stuff with the club, and it didn't work out because they didn't give their full gusto to it. They didn't put all the chutzpah behind it. And TNA put all their fucking marbles in the Broken Matt Hardy basket.
Well, because that's literally all they had left. That was their Hail Mary.
That was we're going to go for broke.
They threw shit on the wall and it stuck.
Yeah,
and it broke.
Yeah,
it broke.
The only hope I would give it, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, and I'm going to say it again. If Matt Hardy was in complete control of that character on SmackDown, that's where that world will exist. Yeah, a broken Matt against Nakamura, that's like charisma against charisma.
That's
broken Matt Hardy in the same universe as Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. No one's going to give a fuck about Broken Matt, at least the general audience.
That's
remember, TNA is the marquee crowd. That's the stuff that we like. That's only for 2,000 people. They're trying to sell out WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Broken Matt is not going to be up there.
All that being said, I'm still hopeful and I still want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see WWE at least attempt to, because maybe the WWE writers might not pull it off, but this wasn't TNA writers that did this. This was Matt's own fucking shit out of his own fucking crazy ass head. So if they let Matt do it, if they give Matt freedom, that's the only way it could work, and it might. It might. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying that I think it will. I'm not saying that it's even likely.
I'm going to ruin it for you.
Okay.
Here's what it should be.
All right.
Fashion Files. They find a broken Matt Hardy in the woods. Done. Nothing that you're going to see on WWE television is going to top what I just said. Promise that.
Okay.
So that's it.
Okay.
That's Broken Matt in a
I hope so. Robert says this. You can't pull the trigger and then have him lose to, like, Seth or Dean. Yeah, good point.
Broken Matt originally or the whole time, was it heel or face?
It was heel in the beginning.
Technically heel.
Yeah. And then he won the people over.
He won originally because he was fighting Jeff Hardy for the name, right?
Right. For the name of Hardy, the last name Hardy. Yeah. And then Jeff lost.
Yeah.
And then that's why he became Broken Nero. And then
Brother Nero.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Brother Nero.
But it was everything, dude. It was a melting pot of a lot of things, dude. Yeah. It was the Maxwell.
Maxwell.
It was the wife. It was the drone. It was the servant.
Senor Benjamin.
It was them actually doing footage out of the compound. It was them. It's what Fashion Files is now.
It was the Rock and Roll Express fucking fighting on a cherry picker.
WWE, dude, you need to watch that. There's a Apocalypto, tag team Apocalypto, where Broken Matt and Brother Nero defend their tag titles against anyone. They even challenged the New Day and the Young Bucks. But out of all the people, they had the Rock and Roll Express from the 70s, Rick and Morton. Off of cherry pickers that was over like a bonfire. It was so fucking ridiculous. But that laugh made you want to watch the next week and the next week and the next week. And then 3 months later, you're wearing Broken Matt merch and you're wondering why they aren't coming to your town.
Yeah, well, you see, SmackDown is the land that it would work with, because you know why? Last year we were buying into Randy Orton being part of the fucking Wyatt family.
True,
because it was just, SmackDown's a place where shit happens. Raw's more of like.
I'm gonna amend what you just said though. SmackDown is a place where it's more likely to work.
Not SmackDown is work, Marvel, where everything is fun. Raw is DC, where everything's all depressing.
All I have to say is Nakamura. Nakamura, for the most part, has been a failure in WWE.
Yeah, for sure.
For the most part. And he's on SmackDown. He's on the land of opportunity, the only place where it would work.
Yeah.
Who's ready for Asuka?
Nobody.
What about Absolution?
They weren't.
Well,
Asuka wasn't ready for them. There's
shit. Yeah, I'm out
back
here.
There.
I'm out.
You saw it as Asuka retreating?
I got a roast in the oven. I gotta go tend to. I'm gonna walk backwards.
You saw it as Asuka retreating?
No.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
No.
Just want to make sure.
Are you thinking conspiracy theory?
No, I'm thinking that they made the group credible enough that they know not to bite off more than they can chew.
Exactly.
They just showed up there. Exactly. They're not ready for Asuka yet.
Oh, okay.
And what a work if you level up on the bull fucking the boars or whatever.
So you think Asuka was running from them. You think they were just trying to intimidate Asuka, but they weren't really going to do shit. I want to throw out a wild conspiracy theory then.
Asuka's gay, right?
Asuka's the actual leader. Asuka's the actual leader of the group.
Oh,
that's a red herring to throw everybody off the scent. They think Paige is in charge. Paige isn't in charge.
What throws it off?
Okay, that's what I said. Just wild. No, fucking
what throws it off is what I finally agree with you is there would be the connector on SmackDown.
I'm thinking all six of them are together.
All run by Paige.
I hope to fuck so, because I did get to say this on the show last week. Yeah. If these two groups on SmackDown and Raw are connected, I fucking love it. If they are not connected, I fucking hate it.
Here's the payoff.
Either way, I'm going to be fucking something.
Well, Randy will be here on the weekend. All right, so here's my conspiracy theory.
Yes.
This January, we're going to have the first ever Women's Royal Rumble.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
These six girls are going to clean house. These six girls are going to clean house just for Asuka to solidify her number one contendership, beating all these girls, throwing them all over. And then she's going to knock them out one by one as a prelude to her title match against, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
It's a women's division.
Yeah.
Did you just assume her gender?
Okay. Oh my god, I gotta regroup after that one. Talk amongst yourself.
That's probably the only good one I'll have tonight.
Yeah, probably.
Absolution laid out Bayley, so I already love them. And then they laid out Mickie Jane, so I kind of don't like them. And then they beat the hell of who was left? Sasha Banks. Oh, I fucking love them.
Now, I love that Sasha was like, well,
maybe.
Because it's like, what have we been saying since 2014?
Turner
heel.
Yeah.
So.
It'll fall flat against Absolution. Shasta's heel turn needs to be on Bayley, because that's the
That's the
story right there.
Yeah, dude, you can build not to the same level, but you can compare it to Austin Rock, dude. You can't Joker and Batman, okay. Austin Rock, Sasha Bayley.
Okay,
can't have one without the other.
Not to the same magnitude, but I
yeah,
I'm picking up what level. You're putting down.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So Sasha turning heel,
where it's like somebody turns on their friend, but it's like their little buddy who just keeps fucking everything up for them. I don't know what movie or show it is.
Fast and Furious 7.
Talladega Nights.
No, because he...
The chick warped them.
Yeah, it was a chick.
Yeah,
it's always blaming it on the chick. It's something where it's like, man, if you would just stop fucking things up for me, I wouldn't fucking kick your ass. I'm drawing a blank.
Chompa Gargano.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Yeah.
That's not a movie, but it works. I've heard this all week.
Really me.
I've heard this all week by from
by
Porsche sitting on the couch.
So it's already a fail. She's the one that picked the fucking War Games that you saw, right? So we're not even talking about that. Oh, hell no. Every week. Robert, all y'all in the chat, remind him that he's the fool that saw War Games 98, please.
So, Absolution. I don't know if the name quite makes sense for their group. Do you think? I mean, it sounds cool.
There's more than one version of Absolution. Yeah. Absolution is finding yourself before death.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. if you're gonna surround these girls and make them flash their life before their eyes before you kill them and then realize they kind of screwed up, Absolution kind of works.
Oh, if they come out to This Is Absolution by Killswitch Engage, that'd be fucking amazing.
From Muse, but
yeah. Robert says, I think Sasha needs to be the secret faction leader. Okay,
but I do like that they're doing. Are all these factions and the Illuminati thing? Everything's in three, dude. Everything's in three. You leave it there. You leave it that way.
But are they doing that because they're thinking that much about it?
Yeah, there's a triangle at the beginning of a ball.
No, but like,
oh, what?
Maybe they're not that intelligent. Maybe they're just being kind of stupid. Like, well, it worked for the shield, so let's try to replicate it.
Don't fix it.
I mean, are we giving WWE too much credit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give them credit on this. Right. I love the soundtrack to Joe choking out Roman.
Okay.
This was awesome. Ah! You're not ready for this. Ah! Dry hump. Ah! That was awesome.
That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe versus Roman for Roman's first title defense. It's obvious. It's going to be
fun. Oh,
you're skipping.
Slow your roll there. That's not his first title defense.
Roman's first title defense was my match of the week.
Oh, I meant rivalry for the title, not this fucking throwaway match on Raw that no one's a
throwaway.
No. You really think that any Intercontinental title open match that Roman Reigns is going to have on Raw is going to mean anything? No. His first rivalry on pay-per-view is going to be against Samoa Joe. That's going to happen more than once. Joe is not going to win, but that shit's still going to be good because Joe knows how to make guys look good, and Joe's going to make Roman look good like AJ made Roman look good.
Let me take you back to a simpler time. The time
was, Petrich Farmer,
was 2015.
Uh-huh.
We had a certain very, very, very legendary champion, United States champion, with the U.S. Open challenge, mm-hmm. And every fucking match that happened every week was damn near match of the week.
You're giving Roman that credit?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of this show.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. That match was a match I was referring to earlier when I said that, damn, I wish we didn't have Dunn versus Gargano because I rather would pick this match as
a
match of the week.
That's where I go above and say that's my match of the week pick.
I want this match to be my match of the week. This is the best I've ever seen Elias. And I
Elias,
think
not I, Roman.
No,
this
shut
is
up.
Elias.
Don't let me finish. This is the best I've ever seen Elias, and I think we could see more out of Elias. And I think he's just on an upward trajectory, and this has turned me around 100% on him, where I'm like, I am a fan of Elias.
Yeah, but you talk about Roman. Go.
All right. Why are you rushing me, man?
Let me get there.
On top of that, I think Roman did very well in this match. And I've said this before on the show. I am not going to take part in the Roman blind hate. Shield members. And Roman, all right, yeah, he may have been a little bit stale, repetitive, and maybe it was a factor of the booking because he was just not Brian, But that match, I think, yeah, a lot of it was Elias, but Elias kind of had a coming out party, but a lot of it was Roman too. I think they worked very well with each other.
That's where I'm getting at whenever you're done with your point.
I think they worked very well with each other, and I can't say that, Elias made Roman look good, because I think Elias made Roman look good. I think Roman made Elias look good. I think they worked well, and you know what? That opened my eyes to maybe both of them being more than what we think they are. Go.
What do we always say? Last year, every time Roman had a badass match against Rollins, against AJ Styles, against John Cena, man, they brought out the best in Roman. The shoe is on the other foot now. Roman is the one who's going to bring the best out of these motherfuckers. Elias.
Okay.
He's not ready yet, according to everybody. He's according to we're like okay whatever. He is, you know what we're Jordan. He ain't supposed to be there yet. In fact, Booker even said it like, oh, and then Corey's like, bitch, you just said the opposite about Jason Jordan. And he's exactly. Elias is like, whoa, where the fuck this came from? How did this come? Because of Roman Reigns, we saw that. We've seen glimpses of it before where he would do like random badass spots where he would jump on the turnbuckle and like, we have, you see some okay matches. But this match was led by Roman Reigns. All the spots that Elias did were because Roman Reigns set them up.
Yeah.
Everything, it's like they got together and Roman was like, here, I've learned this. This is what we're going to do. This is what works. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's go.
Yeah. This match, I've never thought Elias to be a strength and power guy. But in this match,
you've seen him?
I know, but I thought, you know, he's just another worker. But in this particular match, striking power.
Yeah.
With fucking Roman Reigns.
Well, that's what happens when you look like he swallowed Seth Rollins.
I
am. Damian Sandow.
Dude, Elias, the reason Elias is working right now is because everything looks like it makes sense. Yeah. He looks like a drifter. He knows how to play guitar. Yes. He knows how to write lyrics. He knows how to time the audience to get the reaction that he wants to get. Yes. His elbow drop from the top rope. You're telling me all that shit was from Roman? No, Elias has been ready. Yeah. Jason Jordan has been ham-fisted, a stupid storyline that I can tell even he doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
If he doesn't believe it, why the fuck do I want to believe it?
I don't know if I say he doesn't believe it.
Oh, no, he doesn't even believe his own promos. He can't keep a straight face.
Okay.
Now, he's like, we praised them when they beat the shit out of him that one week building up the Survivor Series. But now it's like, okay, now I remember. And here's another example of fucked up WWE booking. Roman announced this challenge on like Facebook or Twitter or something. Yes. Didn't Jordan already accept this shit? Why did we not get Jordan?
Before Raw started, I was like, yeah, we're gonna get Jason Jordan for fucking Roman Reigns. Like,
yeah.
And that didn't happen at all.
Didn't happen.
Card subject to change, I guess. Card
subject to change.
But yeah, I'll blow my load early.
That's your match of the week, huh? Yeah.
That's the match I wanted to make match of the week, but I had to give it to Dunn versus Gargano. I feel obligated to give it to Dunn versus Gargano.
You don't have to.
No one obligates me.
You don't have to.
No one obligates you.
Looks at my wife. She
does. Oh, yeah, she does.
Speaking of.
Hector says the best time he's ever seen Roman was in matches with AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And then it's like you level up.
Yeah. I agree.
Jason Jordan.
All right.
That end segment. What the hell was that?
Dude, that was a mess. Jason Jordan, he didn't believe what he was saying. He's like, in my mind, you see on his face, I can't wait to turn heel.
There's a difference between him pretending to be brave but not believing what he's saying, and then there's a guy that's just there because he's waiting to for the next part of his story to go. He gets the shit beat out of him, and then Finn's music hits. So apparently Finn couldn't beat Joe, so now he's back to the guy that he couldn't beat either.
Pop that collar.
Poor Jason Jordan getting wrecked, and Finn still. Let's make sure everybody gets a close up of my crotch.
Oh yeah.
Ah.
He tapes it up.
You know, because that's the only thing that's
over.
Oh.
And even then that didn't last too long. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Went over the cup.
Oh, I see.
So then we get Kane. Yeah, I'm Kane. I'm out of the plan. And then fucking, hey, this guy, he's still alive? He got hit with a chair last week. Michael Cole sold the fuck out of that. And then fucking threw it. As if it just happened.
Last week. And then the minute he actually started engaging Kane, it was all like, my throat's fine.
That memory foam, dude.
I don't know.
That went on way too long. It was awkward. Whenever Kane was left,
there was a commercial break at 9:58.
Yes!
9:58. Who the fuck books that?
I was like, dude, I want to go to sleep.
I was hoping that's when the show would end at 9:58.
I want to go to sleep. Yeah, that was
I gotta be honest, I was struggling to stay awake.
Oh yeah, I was bored. It bored me.
I fast forwarded that.
Well, something I realized all late is that they were in Knoxville.
Okay.
That's where fucking Kane's running for mayor.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, I think like he was in the whatever. Well, sir, maybe that's writing him off. Oh, hey, guys.
No, they wrote off Finn Balor because apparently we're not supposed to give a fuck about Finn Balor.
You know,
according to Meltzer,
I don't think that's true.
According to Meltzer.
Well, WWE had a poll over the weekend. Who's the next contender? 62% Finn Balor. The closest to it was Braun Strowman at 11. But Finn Balor got choked out last week, and then he got the shit beat out of him by the big red congressman the night before.
He may have won the
Republican machine.
Yeah, he may have won the popular vote, but let's get to the Electoral College, which is
big. So who's groping the pussies then?
Strowman.
I'm not finished with you.
Regular old Matt Lauer. Regular old Matt Lauer.
Oh, Lord.
All right, let's not put that bad juju on fucking Braun. Because I still like
Braun. Fuck that, man. I want Ann Curry. Give me Ann Curry.
What? I was trying to say, I still like Braun Strowman. Yeah. Okay? God damn.
But yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on with that. What is really going on? Why is there still no Universal Champion on Raw?
Well,
why are they booking this week's Raw in LA as a pay-per-view?
Oh yeah!
Don't I've mentioned
there's
this.
There's not a Raw pay per view like between now.
I've mentioned this several times. New York, LA. Everything's a big fucking deal. Drop what you're doing. Yeah. Nobody cares about football. Come travel to LA because we're gonna have a pay per view style night. But we can't get that in Houston, San Francisco, in Corpus Christi, Timbuktu, San Antonio.
Hey, we got four nights. We're just fucking. We can have no room to
play. We're fine. I'm done. Yeah. I mean, we don't have any pay per view dates for the next year, but I'm sure we're gonna.
San Antonio's getting Extreme Rules in September.
Yeah, well, good for them. Ooh. That was not supposed to be condescending.
It sounded like he's like,
I did it.
It did.
I was like, what?
Rewind tape.
I did it.
That's my ringtone. Good for San Antonio.
Fuck this shit. Fuck the Spurs.
Fucking family town. You organic motherfuckers.
Forget the Alamo.
And Del Rio, too.
Like, and his restaurant,
which is closed now.
Yeah,
that ain't the only thing closed.
SmackDown match of the week candidate for me is the main event: Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Yes. No disqualification. Yes. That was fun.
That
as
was
shit.
Very, very.
I can't remember the last time I saw a Randy Orton match and said, "Man, that was fun."
Yes. Halfway through the match, I was already like, "Yeah, this is Randy Orton just being let loose and saying, I'm doing what the fuck I want to do."
Yeah.
Why are there so many candlesticks knocking in the ring? You're like, what the fuck?
Steve Blackman just
he just showed up. He just fucking decided to practice before his SmackDown team.
You get a candlestick, and you get a candlestick. Everybody's getting candlesticks.
Who? Why?
It's a 2K18 unlock.
Yeah.
You hold triangle long enough, you just fall out of the ring like a period.
Yeah, like, what is it? Like, just think of, like, the process. Like, hey, why can't I get a candlestick? Under the ring. Dude, yeah, right there. That's where we keep them.
That's where
we
keep them.
Yeah, it's like, you know. Like hammocks and fucking.
I'm waiting for them to do a Raw in Japan and they break out like mop sticks. Like the kendos are everywhere except Japan.
That is
2x4s. That is
a really weird wrestling thing. Like, why would there be?
Who practices kendo?
Like, yeah, nobody uses
like, what is kendo?
It makes sense for folding chairs because, you have to have them for the audience. It makes sense to have
even
the
then,
steps.
The first couple rows get like the padded ones.
Yeah, so it's like, what the hell are they doing?
I gotta go like five rows back in to get fucking the good ones.
Hector says,
oh my God, he doesn't give a fuck right now, man. I just thought, I was like, what did I miss? I just see his fucking mouth move. Like, oh, he does. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Randy did too.
Oh, yeah.
I think he said shit.
He said a bad word. Oh, my God. Swear
jar. Oh, man. But that was a fun match. Look at Randy trying to grow his hair back. Like,
I know. I saw that. It's like, oh, man.
Bro, let it
go. He saw Cena balding. Yeah. He's like, I'm not letting that shit happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bitch.
Yep. Yeah. Hector is also asking, did they kill off the Ascension? Are the Ascensions dead?
To be continued.
To be continued. So they're not. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
I've got better.
Crikey.
No. That, Matt, as much as I thought I wasn't going to like that, it was really it was fucking funny.
Okay.
It was really good, dude. Everybody, they committed to the, they still don't like them. Like the Ascension, they're your friends. They're not. You say it was their friends. No, we're not your friends.
We're not friends.
He went back for the hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
The next week, The Walking Dead, The Ascension, or Walkers.
Are you calling that?
I'm calling it. I'm calling it The Ascension or Zombies.
They're going to continue with the Saw thing. Because it was like to be continued, not. They
did. Again, oh my God, Saw. There was like the 15th movie that came out right now.
That's true.
I mean, that can be. But I love that they made fun of themselves. They beat a dead horse.
They did. They did beat a dead horse.
Yeah, because we were led to believe that this is leading up to the Bludgeon Brothers. No, they're already debuted. They're still going on.
It could still be.
Damn, you read Robert's mind. Because right as you were saying that about The Walking Dead, Robert said, unless next week there's a Walking Dead parody. Yeah.
Speaking of Bludgeon Brothers, apparently Ryder ain't hype. The year of the breaking up tag team continues.
Dude, I like the Bludgeon Brothers.
Okay.
I didn't think I was going to like them. I was like, this is stupid. This is retarded. And I was watching and I was like, hey, okay, one, the song. It's like remix Baron Corbin song.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
It's pretty cool. Pause in between the riffs.
Yeah. Same thing. I was like, okay, Jim Johns is writing for them again. And I was like, okay, cool.
Is that a complaint?
Maybe.
Yeah, I just got too spoiled with
CFOs have the badass hooks, but like, that's it. Jim Johnson has those badass songs, like, they're not as like. Yeah. As CFOs, if you can get somewhere in the middle, we'd be happy. But you know, we're wrestling fans; we're never happy.
Nope.
Right. So yeah, I saw the match, dude. Yeah, they fucking just. I liked how like crisp they are in the ring.
And,
Harper's always been a good wrestler. It's just now they took off that stupid fucking.
And he's in better shape
like,
too.
That's what I was saying. Looks like he slimmed down.
If you ever see Abel at work, he every once in a while still wears his fat pants. That he used to want to Abel used to weigh like he used to weigh like fucking.
I've got photographic documentation. Yeah, I've known this guy for a decade.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen it. Yeah, exactly. I parachuted in those pants before.
Yeah. But like occasionally he still goes to work with his fat pants on. I'm just like, stop, they don't fit you anymore. And that's how I see fucking Harper. Dude, he's like those big old
one in the mechanic outfit.
Yeah, fucking Slipknot reject or mushroom head looking ass guy.
He's number 11.
Yes, but dude, this works for him. The things they're better fitting for them, and they look better. And in the ring, they were just solid.
Even though it looks like some stuff that is like a discount Kane outfit.
Yeah.
Dude, the finisher makes up for it. The double razor's edge.
Yeah, that's true. That is kind of nice.
Badass.
Yeah,
they need to call it like a falling hammer or kneeling the hammer or some
Mjolnir.
Yeah,
something like that. They need to give it a hammer name.
We're
because they're the Hammer Bros.
We're listening to the Edge podcast. The thing about he wants to rename it the Velveteen Hammer.
The Velvet Hammer. Yeah,
and I said what are the Burning Velvet Hammers?
Something like that for Velveteen Dream.
His fucking death body,
or just Crushed Velvet. Why can't we just call it Crushed Velvet?
But anyway, we're going too far off. I actually like the Head Bros thing because everyone for the past 6-7 months has been saying, oh, fucking Ryder, he's going to turn on fucking Mojo. Mojo's annoying. Oh, he's going to turn on him. Ryder's the older one. He's growing up and he's doing some. Nah, Mojo's like,
Mojo was like, I don't need you anymore.
I don't get hype. I stay hype.
I blow up bathrooms.
Yeah. So yeah, whatever. One less tag team. It's a plus minus. You got we gained one with the Legend Brothers, and we minus one Light Brothers.
Thumbs up or thumbs down if they actually repackage Mojo. Get rid of those like boy short
deals. They tried to remember they just like he planted the seeds for it a couple months ago, and then they just reverted back to the hype bro thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Music sucks. Yeah. He needs to have something more heelish.
Yeah.
Straight up EDM.
We kind of skipped past this in the live chat, so we're going to backtrack a little here just because I thought it was entertaining.
Better live up to that.
Sting returns as Negan for the fucking...
Did you see the picture that somebody shared on Facebook? It's like a selfie stick, but it's Sting with the bat, but you see it for the shot from the camera.
No, I didn't see that.
It looks nice, awesome. Dude. Yeah,
and then Dillinger as Rick. I don't know about that. No. All right. they need Demolition's theme. I guess it's talking about the Hammer Brothers. And also, didn't that finisher belong to the Harris Brothers?
Nobody cares.
I thought they had something called the H-bomb that wasn't
where
they were holding, like, cradling the opponent down, and then they boom like that, and it wasn't that way it was?
I think so.
Nobody cares. Whatever. Does anybody care about the Riot Squad?
Yeah.
Riot. The Riot Squad. The WWE did it again, where they just changed the name for no reason. There has to be a Riot or Ruby Riot, or they needed to trademark Riot or something.
They couldn't trademark Riot Squad with the one T, so they had to add another one.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind that much. It's not like they turned her into Riot Rubies or something. Yeah. But
that would have been better.
It was peculiar. Yeah. It was odd. But I said this when we were talking about the Raw stuff. If the Raw women's group and the SmackDown women's group are related, I'm gonna fucking love it.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it seems as though they are not related at all whatsoever. And what annoyed me even more about it is when I saw last week's NXT that had Ruby Riott versus Sonya Deville, and when Riott came out, hey, she debuted on SmackDown. Here's the replay. And then Deville came out, hey, she debuted on Raw, and showed the replay. It's like, you just showed the replay of the exact same goddamn homework that they kind of changed a little bit. You know, just change the name. Like, dude, really? Are you really going to put that over? It's like, God, if this is not related, it's going to be such a big fucking blunder, and it's going to be weird because now you've essentially said, hey, which one's better? Which one's the, which one's the ripoff and which one's not the ripoff? And
with more, the hand gestures like that?
Yes.
Honestly,
Let me finish. Most likely, the Raw one, since we saw it first, is going to be considered to be the original, especially since it has Paige in it.
Yeah,
and
that's
the,
why.
The SmackDown one is going to be the great value brand, and everyone's going to fucking forget about it.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
I like the Riot Squad because they have a little bit of a difference with Liv Morgan. The little firecracker thing, that she talks. She can fucking – she's Mandy Rose, you can still – she's reading
she's
cue
learning,
cards.
Yeah.
She's reading cue cards.
She sounds a bit like a dude.
Yeah, yeah. She has a look. Lips a little too fat for me. I don't like the too much
– collagen? Lips.
Yeah, way too much. But she has the look as for everything else. I love Sonya on the mic. I didn't think I was going to. I was scared. But she has it.
You know who I liked on the mic? Logan.
I didn't, but because I didn't like...
Are you still trying to figure out why Sarah Logan out of the rest of the NXT girls is the one that...
That's one thing I'm trying to figure out.
That's what I'm trying to get over.
The other thing is, man, their writers suck. Dude, the veterans were rhyming. Like, they were like, oh. It was like the Dasha number 3 was interviewing one of them.
Clone.
Yeah, and she was like, hey, Ruby, right? You know, now that you know who you are, you know, they're going to say that, you know, they're who you are. And then Ruby Riott, first thing says, well, let me tell you who I am. Bitch, we fucking know that.
Like they just said who you
were. Yeah, they literally just said who you are. So it's like whoever's writing for them, but that's why I think I like Liv the most out of all six of them, because she's like that, hey, the little wild card. Like, she can, like, pop off. Like, I don't know. You know, you got something. She has the most charisma. I like Paige, but I didn't like that she repeated herself the I'm back thing. Everything she said, that promo was badass.
You've been back since last week.
Yeah, that promo she did was bad. Pipe bomb esque what she was saying. Emma was saying that I invented it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever. But still, hers is more believable.
Yeah.
She already has the credentials. Mm-hmm. Emma was saying I started this, but she ain't got no fucking hardware.
And part of the thing that you're complaining about right there isn't a problem with just these two groups of call ups. It's a problem with everything that is not natural. Like if you're one of the old school wrestlers in WWE trusts and said you just give you bullet points and you go out there, the WWE trusts with bullet points and they write you a script, it comes out shitty because the script itself is shitty.
Yeah.
And then these people are wrestlers, not actors, so they don't exactly have the chops to like memorize the line a day or the day of and then try to deliver it, you know, flowing.
Yeah, like remember,
Romans used to be so bad.
That's what happened with Roman.
And remember, five of the six girls aren't used to being in front of 14,000 people. They're used to being in front of 400 people.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give someone a whole script to remember and they're fucking deer in headlights before they even look at the microphone,
you're a whole script to remember the day of. Because this isn't
they rewrite
like
this shit all the
hours before, not hours, the day of. It's like hours before.
Because that's just the nature of wrestling, and that's the nature of how Vince has done things for years. They don't write this. They might do a long-term script for like Cena versus The Rock. But even then, when it comes to like the little things here and there, as far as the actual lines that you're going to say at what time, mm-hmm. You're going to be in segment number three and you're going to say this, it's going to set up something in segment number five. Like that happens the day of plan, but you fill in the blanks that fucking night. So it's not like you have a script from Hollywood that, you know, it went through this editing process. Okay, now we're in pre-production, then we're in production, and then, oh, these are your lines, and you get five takes. You know, it's not like that. It's different. So it's definitely more difficult.
Thumbs up or thumbs down that already we had matches for both squads?
Thumbs up. Why not give matches?
I'm kind of somewhere in this little realm because I would like a little bit more build to their characters, but at the same time, it's like, I like knowing what they already have, like what they offer. And Liv, to me, what I said whenever she was in NXT is like, hey, man, she's better than everyone thinks she is. Liv's pretty good. Man, I realize I'm a pretty big Liv Morgan fan. Like, I'm real slowly realizing.
Well, you really like Carmella, too, so.
Not as much as Liv Morgan. I like Liv Morgan more.
Okay, that's fair.
And dude, that kick Sonya does for her finisher now was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
She had like a tap out finisher, right? On NXT, like some kind of submission thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this kick is fucking swift, dude. It's like, bam. And I like Ruby Riott's little step holding up. Your hand and kicking you in the face thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like not quite an eat defeat, but it's not quite just a kick.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a nice little amalgamation of both of those little moves there. So it's cool. Robert says, when they're looking for new writers, but their criteria is experience in TV, preferably reality television, and not in wrestling psychology. This is what you get.
Yeah. And they are looking for writers, right?
They're always looking for writers.
Was like some ad or something like that where they're looking for writers?
Yeah. I mean they always are because they're always, you know, just going through them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem sometimes. You're trying to get writer people, TV novella people, soap opera people,
and they also have wrestling psychologists. Follow all these rules.
Mm-hmm.
Head writer needs to be a guy that knows what wrestling is.
Yeah,
like why is Jake the Snake Roberts not employed in the writing team?
Yeah,
well, Jake the Snake probably has. That's probably a bad example, but I get what you're saying.
Fucking drunk to the meeting.
Well, not now.
Oh, dude, not now.
Yeah, but still, I don't think Vince trusts these guys more than he can throw them.
Oh, ding. Another thing from Robert here. Yeah. 2 weeks in a row, Carmella had a perfect cash-in opportunity, but nothing.
Yeah.
What did she do? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So who cares?
There was no Carmella. There was no Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch and The Miz are both gone because they're filming the Marine 17.
21.
Whatever. 45. The Admiral.
69. Giggity.
Captain Crunch.
Yes, it's again no Nakamura. It's a lot of weird shit going on.
Did we get Rude?
Oh God, yeah, we did, but they just shrunk him down a size.
Really? What the hell happened? I forgot.
Backstage segment and him and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin just looked tougher than him.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He looks more Rude. Looks like more of a gimmick than Baron.
Mm.
And I mean that's what's over his gimmick.
Yeah,
but he's a mid-carder.
I guess. How about Brian opening the show trying to save Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens?
That just building up onto my theory that it's going to be
Brian's turning.
He's turning, and WWE loves them some threes.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to re-sign him?
Brian Danielson, Kevin Steen, and El Generico.
This might be the thing that they're trying to do to bribe Brian into staying. Like, hey, man, you stick around, you re-sign, we're going to let you actually wrestle, and you know what? You could have Zayn and Owens, and y'all work a program and do your stuff. That could be the bribe. Because the news with the Z is that Cody and the Young Bucks are doing their own show that they're paying for out of pocket. They're trying to sell 10,000 tickets. And the tease, again, this is news with a Z, is that Cody wants to face Brian for the main event for this show that they want to put together. If
sweet baby darling, no. Your main event is Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega 2. That'll sell 10 grand tickets.
I think both of those matches will sell 10 grand tickets.
Together, not by themselves.
Yeah.
Or what, they said when they would be having this? Because what I would see, just fantasy booking here, Cody costing Kenny the match, and that would be like a little dissension.
The club against the elite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As your main event. I go by that?
Yeah. This is a first, like, if they wind up not letting Brian stick around and they wind up letting Brian go, and this is the first time we see Brian in a ring and it's against Cody, you know, with the fucking, you know, Bullet Club and all that, I'd be very interested.
Brian versus Omega will have all my money.
Oh, that too. Anything that would have to do with the fucking Bullet
Club.
Cody
has proven himself this year that he's up there.
Yeah.
That match that he had with the other Danielson signing name,
Christopher Daniels.
There you go, whatever, Brian Danielson.
I thought you were going to say Cody Rhodes against Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah,
that was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but the match is really, really, like, I've always liked Cody. I've always just said, man, I like that kid. When he started, I was like, I like the kid. And Stardust, even then, I was like, this is stupid, but I like that he's working with it. And then after Cody left, I was like, well, I don't watch any of the indies. So this was like, you know, a year and a half ago. I was like, yeah, so whatever. But then I was started paying attention more. That match that he had with
Christopher Daniels,
I don't know his fucking name. I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what he had the whole time. And they dropped the ball with him.
Mm-hmm.
So the WWE, what they like to do, a la Drew Galloway, McIntyre, is like, we're sorry. Come here.
Yeah.
So I think that might be happening before they do that.
No.
I just is my random opinion that'll be before you see Cody versus Bryan Danielson in a 10,000 seat show, you will see Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan at like SummerSlam or something like that.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's fun to speculate because I would love to see Bryan do something.
Yeah.
But again, I also have
he's in such good shape, dude. Like he's been,
yeah.
WWE had to easy out. They should have just fed him Ellsworth.
They could have. Yeah. But I'm hesitant because look, I'm not Brian's doctors. Hell, I'm not a doctor at all. But if WWE is of the opinion that hey, our doctors say you can't, you know, your neck's hanging on by shoestring and bubblegum, then maybe there's something to it. Like, I don't want him to risk his life.
Have you read his interviews or have you heard his interviews with Edge and Christian?
Yes, I have. I know that, like, that's his side of the story.
He's getting close.
And I know that's his side of the story, but then there's the WWE side of the story. And, well, where does the truth actually lie?
Well, look what Dr. Amon did to CM Punk.
That's true, too.
I'm not even looking that way.
That's true,
too. You're telling me that you would rather see, for example, Kurt Angle, who can't stand up straight,
hell no.
who tore a muscle before Survivor Series,
hell no.
But you're not going to put a healthy Daniel Bryan who looks healthy, who's been healthy, who hasn't had any issues. You're not gonna throw him in there, but you're gonna push Angle.
But that's saying that I'm assuming that I wanted to see Kurt Angle.
I was
against that.
Where the WWE is being smart is what I cannot be mad at them is, dude, one, there's still a big concussion lawsuit against them.
Yeah.
Two, all it takes is one fight with Brie Bella where he lays a hand on her. Oh, CTE. Oh, roid rage. Oh, you know, no, not roid rage. Oh, CTE. He's all those blows to the brain. He's just like Chris Benoit.
If history dictates, we're not going to hear that till about 20, 25 years from now. That happened. Anyway.
Well, no.
I don't think Brian's the type, though, to do that anyway.
The treatments, dude, we thought Chris Benoit was just as.
That's true, too.
Matt Lauer wasn't the type either.
Man. Yeah, that's true.
Donald Trump.
The treatments that he's getting are fixing his brain. He said right now he has like the brain of a guy who played like college football. With more treatments, he'll have the brain of a guy who played some high school football with more treatments. He'll be the guy. His end treatment is going to be a guy who's never played contact sports.
They can rebuild him.
They can hit.
You can crack his head open like a man. I accepted the fact that I don't think I'll ever see Daniel Bryan wrestle in a WWE ring again. I do think that ROH is so desperate that they will have Bryan Danielson wrestle. Yeah. The Young Bucks can throw Bryan Danielson enough money to show it at their event. New Japan can offer Bryan Danielson money, but I'm not seeing Daniel Bryan.
Bryan Danielson is not about the money.
Yeah. He's made his money.
He's made his money.
His wife is making a ton of money.
Yeah, but dude, as guys, no one likes to be told when you can't do something.
Yeah, anymore. That's what I'm saying. Like,
as if Daniel Bryan, if he has the out, he's taking it, bro.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
But right now, with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, dude,
that would be the perfect time for him to come back and do into some way or another as a heel, because we saw he can be a heel.
Yeah,
dude. The reason why he's such a big face is because he was such a good heel. Yeah.
I'm not sure to whom Hector is referring to in this, but this is what he says. Maybe you back to the Indies match for Bryan Danielson. They could use that as the build-up for one of the greatest ROH champions versus the one guy who thinks he is the greatest ROH champion. Is he talking about Cody there?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Robert says, they could have given him The Miz since he's, a pretty safe
guy.
That's
what I thought they were going to do at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they still could. No, they can't. It's different brands.
Mm-hmm. Danielson versus a returning Shibata. That would not be a safe match.
No, that his
headbutts.
Yeah,
you already know Shibata's almost gone. We're still wondering if Brian's gonna go. No, that
Danielson versus Punk.
Oh God! Again. Yeah,
again, Young Bucks have been throwing their fucking thing at Punk.
Daniel Bryan and Punk had a really good SummerSlam match, in 2012.
The SummerSlam, that was over the limit. SummerSlam. It was over the limit.
Was it?
Yeah. It wasn't SummerSlam.
Well, it was a badass match.
If I'm not mistaken, Punk doesn't like Danielson in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in that interview with Colt Cabana, he was talking about, when we did the thing, this dumbass like hit me with this, and then somebody broke down the thing, the video he was talking about, and it was deep. He had just had surgery on his eye or something like that. And it's like, some idiot, one of these idiots got me in the eye or whatever. And they broke down the video, and it was deep right that was hitting him in the spot that was hurt. Mm. And like, they've never been like best friends either. Like, they always kind of like, hey, like a respect thing, but that'd be a badass match to watch.
New Day against Benja Gable.
Oh, damn, I almost forgot about this. I thought it was kind of interesting that they had the Usos out there pretty much just like playing cheerleader for the New Day.
Just facing it up.
It was a little bit too facing it up for me because I get it that now that there's this respect thing between the Usos and the New Day, and I get it that they're trying to make the Usos more face than tweener. But with this new character of the Usos, I don't want them to be more face. I want them to be more tweener. Yes. It's not all out heels.
I have the same. If I was to do a call or a play, it would be that.
Yeah.
My stance on this match is I'm going to just kind of go a little bit outside of wrestling here. Maybe you'll understand this. I'll have a match. I have a match of the week pick.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a match that was my favorite.
Okay.
Much like in Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
The best saga was the Cell saga.
Okay.
But my favorite saga was the Frieza saga.
Okay.
So the match of the week pick for me is Roman versus Elias, which I thought was fucking superb.
Okay.
But my favorite match to watch was the New Day versus Chad Gable versus Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, why is that, sir?
Because of all the fucking ingredients it was. One, it was if you just strip everything down, they had a good match.
Yeah.
Okay. Like in ring. Man, some of the spots that do that every week, I just like, God, fucking Kofi should have a badass singles run one day. Mm-hmm. Like a really legitimate one.
Yeah.
And then Xavier's like, man, he's proving himself even more and more every fucking week. Mm-hmm. Big E is just the shit. Fucking that motherfucker, he blew pancakes out of his singlet.
He did.
Two.
And some syrup. And a whole bottle of syrup.
Okay, I kind of missed.
I thought he was just happy to see me.
They poured a box of something on
his booty, but it was pancakes.
Like,
It was pancakes.
I was like, what the fuck? That was so fucking good, dude. That whole segment, because even the Usos, yeah, they were a little too facey, but they're fucking funny. They have so much character. They were just letting loose. You could tell they didn't care if they were face or heel. They were just being the Usos. They were just fucking. And then, of course, adding on to these layers of Saxton and Corey just fucking took his shit.
Oh my God. Saxton was going to eat the pancakes, and Corey is like, what the hell are you doing? Yes. You know where those were? Yes.
Everything about this match was good. That was my favorite match, though. It was the most entertaining match out of the whole shebang that was wrestling this week.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. I understand what you mean. How you about anything to add to that? Because I don't have anything to add.
It was fun. The only question I have, New Day might be back in line for the titles. Do you guys really want to see Usos versus the New Day again after they announced more than once that this is over?
You know, and here's another reason why. I'm agreeing with you on that. Here's another reason why. I don't want all of my excitement for Shelton Benjamin to be back to have all been for naught. Mm-hmm. For him to just play backup to Gable, who they're trying to do American Alpha 2.0, but it's not working, and they're playing backseat to both Usos and New Day, and you know, like, this is Shelton fucking Benjamin. Why the fuck did he not get the keys to the castle right from the get-go? If you're gonna team him up with Gable, then put a chip on Gable's shoulder again and have him, you know what, I traded in Jason Jordan for somebody better, and we're going to be better than we were in American Alpha, and then just have him fucking run roughshod over the entire fucking division.
No, I would say
2 weeks backwards. Benjamin turns on Gable.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
that's
what and I was Gable already being an underdog against Shelton Benjamin, who's former Intercontinental.
Dude, I can just already predict.
Whatever we didn't get from Jordan versus Gable, what could have been, I want to see it from Benjamin versus Gable.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And Benjamin's still showing that he has what it takes. And he's like swole now, so it's like
he's thick.
He has that power plus the speed.
You put the U.S. title on Shelton Benjamin right now, and it's fucking believable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just take it off of Corbin.
Yeah, just take it.
Send him back down to fucking FCW. OVW. Yeah.
So I like that idea too. I like my idea as well. But what those ideas have in common is fucking spotlight on Gable and Benjamin.
They don't need the belts.
They don't need the spotlight. I mean, yeah, you always want to have them prominently featured because them merch checks are real. Dude, why are you wasting Benjamin? Talent, yeah. You're wasting Benjamin. Like, give them something to do that is meaningful. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, I agree.
Okay.
We'll end the segment with AJ against the Singh brothers.
Okay. A couple years ago, that used to mean something completely different. I'm sad now.
What?
AJ Lee.
Oh.
I'm never letting it go. I'm going the other way.
So you wanted to see AJ Lee versus the Singh brothers?
Yes. That would be a very entertaining match.
You kinky fuck.
It's on next video right now, man.
Bollywood boys dance. Dude, that match was fucking stupid. Like, it was like... I mean, Jinder Mahal comes out and fucking like knocks the shit out of whatever. He spends the whole break just beating the shit out of him, apparently. Like, so we come back in commercial, and he's still beating the shit out of him. He's like, "All right, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Let's start this match or whatever." The match was fine. It was okay. The best part was like this spot was fucking awesome. That Styles Clash off the fucking on top of another Singh brother. He clashed a Singh brother on top of another Singh brother. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was
1-2-3 bam, it was over. And then Jinder Mahal tried to go in there, and he's like, nope, and he fucking ran away. And then fucking Mayhaw just, blam, that second Colossus there, he just fucking flipped them all over. That dude flips too much, man. That guy, he fucking almost killed himself that time, and against Randy Orton.
He landed completely on his hip.
On his straight
completely hip.
Straight
that hip. That was all hip.
Yeah.
That dude in like 10 years, maybe even less than 10 years, is going to need a hip replacement. Yeah, like, seriously. He needs to be careful with himself.
Yeah. But all this to say, this is not a good world championship program.
No.
He needs to already. I'm glad the Clash of Champions in December. Do away with it. Go.
To have AJ beat Jinder and that's it?
Move on to the next.
So Jinder not getting it back for the India tour?
The India tour is happening before the pay-per-view.
Okay.
They changed it. It's not going to be AJ defending the belt against Jinder. It's Jinder against Triple H.
What?
Yeah.
New Order
Bad. I didn't know that.
Where have you been?
I didn't know that.
If I'm not mistaken, that almost they almost booked that before the fucking.
There was supposed to be two nights, and they wound up changing it to just one night. So they stacked the whole card for that one night, and they're ending it with Triple H against Jinder.
Yeah. Oh wow! So,
you know,
but Triple H has a face. Even though he's like a heel.
Oh no, he's gonna get booed out the fucking country.
Oh, India, dumbass.
Herp derp.
I would hope that he would get booed in India versus, you know, Jinder Mahal.
Hey man, you never really,
dude. That's a. Country. When you're representing them on your program.
We're not giving the Indians marks enough credit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
I'm not doing my Indian impression.
I tell you, man, they bombed their own champion. That's it. That's it for SmackDown, dude.
Okay.
That's pretty much everything.
Is that everything?
The news that we were going to talk about was, well, we kind of mentioned it already, the Balor thing with Meltzer.
Oh yeah,
I don't care about Meltzer. What the fuck's a Meltzer? The point is, Balor's not getting over. He's not over. They're booking him to be not over. And like
Meltzer said it, and then like they're saying that Meltzer's thing was like
fabricated.
Yeah, he made that shit up. Like he had no sources about that. He was just like, oh, I was just saying that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to know exactly where the truth is on that, because is it the guy Meltzer?
Mm-hmm.
Was he bullshitting the entire time, or is the people saying that he was bullshitting really the bullshitter? So
it's Meltzer.
Yeah. So I mean, this whole thing. I mean, do you really believe that Finn's not over?
Because
enough?
He's fucking like running with it online, like the whole I didn't overcook the turkey.
I don't think that. While it's kind of believable that maybe Vince thinks that Finn isn't as over as he should be, that might be because
it's kind of true.
That might be because because he isn't over with Vince enough. You know, Vince is in there. He's not over to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not high on the guy, which I could see that being the case.
Remember who else was it? Who? Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. And do you remember the struggle?
Yeah.
The fucking struggle to get Daniel Bryan to be at the spot where everyone else thought he was.
Frustrating Raws to watch ever. The most frustrating Royal Rumble to watch.
Yeah.
I love the Royal Rumble. And I hated that Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
The one where we booed Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, I hated the Rumble that he got eliminated halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
That one I think was worse. Like three Rumbles in because a row. That booing lasted for 35 minutes.
I'm still booing it.
That's the reason why people boo Roman.
Yeah.
Because of that Rumble.
Yeah.
Among other things.
But that's what started it all. Yeah. That's when it became popular to not like Roman. Yeah. You know, that whole fucking shit. The whole reason why we boo Roman is because Vince was stubborn about not pushing Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's going to perpetuate into he's too stubborn to not push Finn Balor.
Yeah. And then that's going to create some other fucking weird ass Nakamura. Or something stupid, you know?
No, it's still going to be Roman.
Oh, because they don't push Finn. Oh, great. Now because they don't push Nakamura. Oh, no, because they don't push Omega. Oh, no, because they don't push UHA Nation. Yeah. Oh, no, because they don't push Kenta. Oh, no, because they didn't push Hillary Clinton.
Or it's because they did push this guy and not the, you know, some other guy. Like, oh, fuck Baron Corbin. Like,
you know, oh, like, my God.
That's what it's going to take for us to cheer Roman. I'm going to boo Corbin if they're going to put him again
in the Royal Rumble this year.
Oh, fuck you.
Hey, what's up, Seth? Also, what's up, Juan? Juan is late, but yes, hey, what's up?
Late than ever. We're almost done.
Seth is in the live chat just going delete. Hopefully we'll get to see that, maybe, if WWE can pull it off.
Part of that news, what was that about the legal thing about Matt Hardy?
The legal thing about Matt Hardy was
TNA Anthem, let it go.
Anthem is like officially relinquishing all the rights to the broken stuff.
Yeah.
So legally WWE can do Broken Matt Hardy. Which, are we gonna get Broken Matt Hardy or are we gonna get like Woken
Matt Hardy?
Matt
Hardy.
Is the workaround not bring back Broken, but to do something new, something different, and be Woken Matt Hardy?
If that's the case, then why the fuck have we waited this long for it anyway?
Okay, good point.
Matt Hardy version 3.0.
That's it, man. That's the show.
Okay. Yeah. I guess we'll have more stuff to talk about Matt Hardy once it happens.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll bitch about it then.
Well, then, adios, my friends. Keep it classic.